And our Father, we thank you again for this precious book. And Lord, we realize your record is accurate, it's holy. And we thank you we're able to understand it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit today. And I pray you'd bless this day as we remember on Memorial Day, not only what people have done for our country in the early years and set it up in such a way with your help. Today, though Satan has tried for over 200 years to destroy what was set up, we thank thee that yet still we have the privilege to come and worship you in spirit and truth. And I pray today you'd give us the ability to understand more about this precious book, because when we do, we understand more about you and how you deal with us in this life and what we should be doing until we meet you face to face. Holy Spirit, help us today to do great things for God's glory. And also remember, not only for those who died for our country, but for those who have died, dear Father, in various ways because of this precious book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And I'd like you to take your Bible, if you'd like to, and turn to John chapter 15 to start with. Now, this message today is going to hopefully not too long, and yet at the same time have two aspects to it in life. In John chapter 15, in verse 13, Jesus made this statement, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And I think that you and I understand that we didn't get here where we're at without some tremendous results in the past of people giving their lives. That's the thing about anything that's successful. We get the chance to enjoy some things, whereas when we come to a place of worship, or when it comes to a place of remembrance, or come to a place like our country to be built in such a fashion that where we are have advanced so much in so many ways. But the results of our country today, ladies and gentlemen, we must never forget it didn't just happen. There's a road that it came from that many people gave their lives. And anything that's successful in this life, there are those who reap the reward of the success, but they don't know what the journey was to get to where that success is at. And I thought about this as we start this morning. On Memorial Day, we recognize a special kind of people. Many have given their lives while serving in the military. Their names have been engraved on stone and on metal plaques, and they've been put in places where in turn they've been recognized. Parades have been given and will be over this Memorial Weekend in their honor and in their memory. But when we think about names in general, most of us have been to Washington and we look at the monuments. I know the last time we went through Washington, we went to the Vietnam because we had a young man in our church. His mother is in our family, was in our church, and mother and some of the family. And he died in Vietnam, and we found his name inscribed on the memorial that was there. And so when we go back and look at history, we must not forget we're enjoying things that people gave their lives for, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Did you hear what I said? We're enjoying things that people gave their lives for. Amen. And we must never forget that. And we live in an age today that people want to forget that because they think there's something really horrible about the past and want to live and change everything for our day. I want to tell you something. Those people gave their life, but God blessed this nation because they were trying to keep standards that God set. They were not trying to change their standards like we see today, a generation coming. And therefore, when I think about this time, I'll remember these, and then we'll go to the second phase. As a matter of fact, I found an article that was written back in 1987. It was editorial in the Nashville Banner News in one of the cities in Nashville. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. May I read it to you quickly? So on May the 5th, 1886, Citizen Waterloo, New York, gathered to honor soldiers who had died in the Civil War. It was the first official Memorial Day and had been so proclaimed by Congress. The custom spread. Other citizens in both the North and South sought ways to pay homage to the more than 200,000 wearers of the blue and the gray uniforms who had died in that battle. Since then, the dead of other wars were included, with the results that the veterans of some seven more wars and been other scrimmages other than that that honor a Memorial Day today. The Spanish-American War, World War I and II, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam War, the American debt of those wars totaled about half a million people. As we consider all the wars in which America have fought, it can be said that certainty, that few families in this country have not been touched by at least one of those wars, and in many cases, by several. Nor can we overlook the valiant servicemen and women who have lost their lives in action during the so-called peacetime. And I want to tell you something. I'm old enough now to understand more than what I knew when I was young. And I appreciate men and women. Sometimes people say, well, that, you know, I don't believe in fighting what the nation fights for or fights against. Well, one thing is for sure, these young people and many others in age died because they believed what their government was doing. And by the way, we as citizens do not decide wars. It's the government that does that. They know more than we know. Maybe we don't like it. But anybody who gives their life for this country in a war, there should never be a negative thought about that from anybody who's blessed because of that. Amen. You're going to say amen? If not, I'm going to walk out of this pulpit. I feel like, I'll tell you what, I believe what I'm saying. I'm old enough to say it. Soon be 79 years old. I'm old enough to say it. I've known enough to see the history and change. And ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time that don't look too good, I don't believe, in the eyes of things of this world until we get back to some of the basic principles we had that God gave us to start with. God does not change. And we've had men who surrendered and did things and women through the years that helped us along this line. And so now, as we consider the wars in which America fought, it can be said that with certainty that few families of this country have been touched by those who've lost loved ones. Nor can we overlook the valiant servicemen and women who've lost this peacetime, the loss of life of 246 Fort Campbell soldiers in the crash in 1986 in Grandeur. Newfoundland, the 241 Marines who tragically died in Beirut, Lebanon. In 1983, when terrorists bombed their headquarters. The 37 men killed in 1987 aboard the USS Stark in the Persian Gulf from the fire Iraq plane and others. As Americans lay wreath on the graves of the dead of honor them in other ways, there is a longing and hope that ways can be found to prevent wars in the future. But ladies and gentlemen, one thing is for sure, we are thankful to know that if someone in this world, evil or otherwise, try to come against us, our nation is willing to stand and fight, and we have people in this nation who rise up to the cause. And we had wars in the Middle East and wars in Iraq, and these people certainly deserve to be recognized on Memorial Day. In fact, they deserve to be recognized on any day. And what I'd like to do for a few minutes before I get into the second phase of this message is take a few minutes, if you're here this morning and you have a loved one in your family or someone close to it, no matter where it's at in years past, no matter what war it is, that they either were wounded or that they were killed during that war, I'd like to honor them this morning by you telling us their name so we can give recognition to that. Now, I want to start, first of all, I had a cousin, or my dad had a cousin, which would make him, I guess, my second or third cousin, someone on there, that in the Korean War, I'll never forget, his name was W.B. He was in the Korean War. I remember when the first time I heard he'd got wounded bad. And I remember hearing him as a young teenager talking about what happened. And he said he was in a foxhole, but it went in the ground this way. It was in the side of the mountain or side of a hill. They dug in this way and dug back to the right. And they didn't have just that open at the front. And he said they did that so that anything would hit, hopefully it would not hit them because they'd be behind the bearer at the back. And said that he was standing in the back of where the tent was, and they had rounds come in. Different types. One exploded in the air in a tree and came through that entry where he was at, and he didn't even know it. He said he lost his face from here down completely, but he didn't know it. And somebody said, W.B., your face is gone. And I will never forget when he said with tears in his eyes, I put my hand up here, and when it did, it went from up into my nose. There's nothing there, just a hole. He liked to die. He came through it. They over the years, give him a artificial face. It looked fairly good, except his chin was a little bit peaked, and he never got over his wounds in that day. I remember another young fellow who was here, some of you do, Miss Pilkins' son. I think his name was Douglas, one of the mother. I remember he was in our church. When he graduated high school, he went into the service. And of course, when he got through his boot camp less than a year, I guess, he ended up in Vietnam. At that particular time, his dad got killed in an automobile actually here in the States. And we got word to where he was at in Vietnam, and they let him come home, of all things, to his dad's funeral. Some of you might remember that. They used to live over here where the ballpark's at. And he came home, had a chance to talk to him. We had the funeral. When he got ready to leave, I talked to him. And he went back to Vietnam. Little did we know, I don't know how long it was, if less than a year, I know, or probably less than a few months, just a few months, we got word he'd been killed. And they sent him back, and it's a sad situation. We had the funeral. And then they decided to move him up from a place where he was at to one of the mosques, I think, over here in the funeral home. And so they asked me to go over and just stay there with him until they got him moved a little bit later. Now, these are two people that I know personally, in turn, who gave their life in a war for our country. Is someone else here? You got a loved one, a cousin, someone in the past? Right? We want you to hear it, brother. Here on the mic, so everybody can hear this, that died in one of the wars or was wounded.
Best friend, Sammy Harrison, got killed in Vietnam.
Amen. Another, anyone else? That's the one. Anyone else? Okay, brother, right here. Thank you, Brother Keith.
My brother, William
Needham. On the mic, brother, if you will, so people can hear it.
Recorded.
We want to honor them.
My brother, William Needham Williamson, was killed in Vietnam.
Amen, brother. Amen. How old was he, brother?
He was about 45.
45. How was yours, brother? Young.
He was 24.
Is there anyone else? That's two, three. That's four so far. Anyone else? Right over here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
My.
Well, okay, hold just a minute. Let's get one at a time. Okay, go ahead.
My father, whose name was also Shirley, he was a Purple Heart recipient from the Korean War. He was injured by a bayonet. He lived a few more years, but he died young.
In Korea. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay.
My. Was Rufus R. Bailey, and he was in World War II.
Amen.
And he deceased.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. Someone else? Anyone else here? A cousin? Being anybody? Any war? Right here. Okay. Thank you.
It was recently, so he fought in Iraq. Staff Sergeant Leon Lucas, and he passed away during the war.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Anyone else? Right here, okay, sister.
Oh, my father was in World War II, and he received many medals, and he was a sharpshooter.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Alfred Lee Hicks.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Work? Okay. John? Amen. Amen. Thank you. See, right here, I ain't on church now. I've been touched. Someone else? Okay, thank you.
My father was also a Purple Heart recipient in World War II, and he was hit by a shell and literally did move his heart over a couple of inches. And so he had to come home early, but he was wounded. It's absolutely amazing if you could sit and listen to the stories that he told of me in the war, how that God spared his life so many times.
Amen.
And he knew later on that the reason why God spared him was because he was going to become a soldier of the Lord.
Amen.
And he got saved later, of course, and became a preacher. But Amen. Just absolutely amazing story of how God saved him.
Amen. So, it's amazing, too. The fact is it been hit and the heartbeat moved over like it was. That is a miracle. Sure is. Someone else quickly? Amen. Anybody got a count? How many that is so far? Anybody? How many? I lost my count. That's six or seven. One. Okay, go ahead.
I had an uncle who's Joseph Ploss. He was a pilot in the Air Force, and he was shot down in World War II.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, sister, right here.
I know it was a long time ago, and I didn't have no way I could ever know him, but one of my great-great-grandfathers fought in Arkansas mm-hmm. in the Civil War, and he was killed, and he had a one-year-old little boy. That was my great-great-grandfather,
right.
And I always just think about how he grew up without a father,
Amen.
And it's just an interesting story.
Amen. Thank you so much. Someone else? Yes, brother, right here. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wife has two uncles. They're brothers. One got his leg shot off in the Korean War. He was over an army tank. He's the only one that lived. Pulled himself 2 miles in the sand on the beach. That's the only thing kept him from bleeding to death. The other one got shrapnel all on his body from Vietnam.
Amen.
Both good men.
Amen. Thank you, brother, again. Is anyone else? Word? Thank you. You see, it amazes. I bet it didn't realize right now how many of us have been affected by wars. They gave their life so we could have the results. Yes.
Preacher, one of my best friends in high school, Steve Thomas, got killed in Vietnam.
Thank you, sister. Someone else? Anyone else? Yes. Right.
Yeah, I was in aviation at Fort Bragg, and I lost several friends in aviation mishaps, along with service members.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Someone else? Anyone else? Amen. Well, we see what touch. I will never forget, most of all, no Brother Johnson. He was in World War II. Had a tremendous testimony. Always wondered how the Lord let him live. He said he believed he'd be saved, but he was in a foxhole, and a grenade was in the foxhole, and his friend saw it first and threw himself on it and blowed him up and saved the rest of the ones in the foxhole. That's how close he came to nearly dying. So there's a lot of good stories. Would you stand to your feet as we pray, Arna, just a moment, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for knowing you, but we also have a thought in our mind to remember on this day those who gave their life or were wounded in battle in some war of this nation. Help us not take it lightly. Our Father, we have much to give in respect to those who came before us. We have much that you require of us to give and set the pace for those who will come after us if you don't come back for the church and close this thing out. Every generation is a generation of the past to promote to a generation to the future. And Lord, there's things we have to do now that will either keep what we've had in the past or it be changed and move into something else for a new generation. And our Heavenly Father, we have not only a requirement to live in our time, but present the gospel of Jesus Christ in our time, that where God could set forth a generation to come that would hear the news that we had the privilege of hearing. And I thank thee for the history of this church, Lord, for those in our church who've gone on now that helped pave the way to get that message out for the last 50 years. And dear Father, again, put a hedge about this church and never let it change where you started it from. And bless these families who have lost loved ones. And Lord, we want them to know, and we want you to know, we thank you for what you have done through them and for what they have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, what I want to do is move in to the message for just a bit. It won't take long. We think about those who have died for us in our nation. But on the other hand, but that's proper and fitting. It should be done in our time. But there are fallen men and women that should be mentioned who did not fall serving our country, but in serving our Lord and our Savior. People, ladies and gentlemen, we're reaping results today of having God's Word, having it written, Holy Spirit still working, giving us some people that lived the example in our lives, and those who have died for the cause of Christ. And by the way, they are important for the spiritual welfare of our country as much so as others who have lived and died for us to have our freedom in this land. Most names have been long forgotten by mankind, but not by our Heavenly Father. And for God has rewarded them with the highest honor that can be lost or be bestowed upon a human being. They have the honor of being placed nearest the throne of God in heaven. They have the privilege of serving our Heavenly Father there in His very throne room. And therefore, sometimes in this life, we may miss somebody, though we keep good records, that have died physically. I don't know if all those monuments in Washington has everyone who has died. I'm sure they have most of those, but I assure you, they may have been, some got lost in the cracks, and their names may not be on those monuments, and yet they died for us physically, for our land. But God keeps a record that every person who's saved names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He doesn't lose one of them as far as their names in that book is concerned, and his record is accurate, and he will not forget those who died for the cause of Christ. I'm talking about not just coming to church and living like we are now. I'm talking about giving their life, died physically, left this world, and went into glory, not because they were criminals, not because they'd done anything bad, simply because they stood for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I went back and I began to look at some things, and may I give you some by name. Many we don't have their name. Most we don't have their name. But though we not have their name, these are records of how people died for the cause of Christ through the years since Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And in turn, God keeps a record. Not only does he know how they died, he has their names. We have some. First of all, we know Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came and he was crucified. Stephen was stoned to death, that deacon of the first church. James of Zebedee was beheaded. Matthias was stoned to death, and then they cut his head off. Andrew was crucified. Mark was dragged to pieces into town or in the streets. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was crucified. Thomas was ran through with a spear. Luke hung by his neck till he died. Simon Zelot was crucified. John of the old age was on the island of Patmos. Yet he died, but look what he suffered during the time. Millions of believers have been slain through the years. Even today, hundreds of Christians are murdered daily. I'm talking about today on this earth. Hundreds of Christians have been murdered daily, not because they're tremendous gangsters, but because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a blessed privilege to live in a country, not have to fear that. It may happen to some of us, but we don't have to fear it like you do in some countries where they have people who honestly tell you they want to kill Jews and Christians. Now, when I see this, how did they die? These are the names. God has those names. He's documented them in the scripture. On the other hand, there's many others have died. We don't even know their name. I read Fox Books of Martyrs. Some of those have their names that's there, and I remember them how they died. But at the same time, I can't relate to them. There have been many others who's not like in the Bible or the Fox Books of Martyrs that have died. So how did they die? Well, let me give you thought. They have died some of the worst conditions in this that's ever existed. They were burnt by fire. They were beheaded. They were shot with arrows. They were hanging from the neck. They were stoned. They were boiled in oil and tar. They were pulled apart on racks as they stretched them till the bodies broke. They were hooked with hooks and hung from a pole until they died. They were crucified. Some were burned to death by hot irons. Others hung by the feet with a weight tied to the neck, hanging down until they actually hung themselves upside. They were hung upside down. Hands and feet were cut off, and they bled to death as people rejoiced of victory over them. Imprisoned in cells with broken glass on the floor and in total darkness, where they could not move without being cut on the floor, where their waist and their urinal was in the bottom and it had a stink like some type of sewage place, and that's where they had to live until they died. They were fed by wild animals. They were laid on racks and spikes with fire beneath them as they roast like a hog or some type of beast. They, again, teeth were knocked out and hair was pulled out. They were turned over a fire until burned to death. They were beaten to death. Death to the grounds to death underneath mills, grind to death under a millstone. Thrown into the sea, bound with heavy stones around their necks so they'd go to the bottom and drown. Poisoned in many different ways. Some were starved to death. Others cut, ears were cut off. They were put, eyes were put out. Arms and legs were pulled off like plucking something. Skin alive, then they put salt in the wounds so they'd hurt more. Burnt to death in ovens across in some countries. Impaled on stakes until they died. Put into bags with poisonous snakes and scorpions till they died. Dressed in clothing covered with wax and then set afire for lights of pleasure for some people. Animal skin sewn around the body and wild dogs were turned loose on them. Hung by the hair and roasted over fire until they died. Thrown from high walls down on rocks and things that stuck into them when they fell. Shot with guns. Brains beaten out with a hammer. gassed to death in gas chambers, cut into pieces, tongues pulled out with pliers, and did so until they died and bled to death, buried alive and had to die like such a horrible death, whipped to death until they died, killed, then eaten by cannibals in some places, and imprisoned many until they died. How did these people stay faithful? We can't even get to church. How can they stay faithful? They had something, ladies and gentlemen, that evidently we don't have. I'm telling you, just for Jesus forewarned believers in Matthew 10, 22, 24, 9, and also John 16 and 2. In fact, he said in John 16, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you think that he doeth God a service. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, when he said, listen to me, there's coming a time when you trust me, when you believe in me, when you receive me, there's coming a time. It happened that day. By the way, it's going to happen even more so as the end of the age comes, when Israel gets back where she's as she is now, that they are going to kill you thinking they're doing God a service, but they're worshiping their own God. God stirred my heart on this thing. God in heaven, help us understand what we have today costs greatly. We can sit and enjoy it and let it run over our head as if it don't mean a thing in this world, but it ought to mean something. We're not sitting here by chance. We're sitting here by the predetermined God's will that people died, not only for our country, but died for the cause of Christ, since Jesus Christ himself died 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, be prepared to die for me, because they'll hate you if you stand. You back off. They don't know whether you're saved or not. They could care less. If you have a testimony that you're saved in the last days, you're going to either prove that by your life or tell a lie about it. We may be gone. My life soon be gone. But I'm going to tell you, I wish I could say to young people, it's going to be easier. It's not. Because it's harder now than it was when I was a young kid. You measure some of this and see what's happened. You see, and watch what I, hey, some of you will be around a few years, Lord, and come back. Keep in mind, I told you it's going to happen. It's going to happen, folks. One thing is for sure, it's not that God can't win. God loves, and he said, I will revenge. I will take vengeance for you. The only problem is, we have changed so much that we inside have what outside has. And God teaches us that even in the face of our adversaries, that we, when we, I've been looking at David. David amazes me. David played a harp for Saul, knowing Saul hated him. And one time when David was playing the harp for Saul, Saul was so eat up inside, he took a javelin, a sword, and threw it at David. You remember that? David only had a harp. He had the weapon. And David ducked or moved, and they said the javelin went in the wall. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd have got the javelin and threw it back. It's not me, but yes, you would, because that's the way we're geared. But David didn't. And I'm looking at now some things he said in the book of Psalms that sets me know why. David started out with a bad situation with God, but God still says, it's a matter of my own heart. You know why? David changed. And David showed me that we have to change inside. And before we should never try to change the outside of another person. We don't know that person. We need to change inside so we can handle it in a way that God could be pleased with it. We come up short. The devil wants to kill every believer. You know the reason why we're not dead right now by his hand? He can't kill us unless God allows it. And he'll get a few. In spite of what this world thinks, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is chained on a chain. He can only do what God allows him to do. And because of the end of the age coming and God seeing that, there's some things that are going to happen real bad and get our attention. But for the child of God to get our attention to see, hey, it's going to get a lot worse, and thank God I'm safe in Christ. I mean, what are you going to do, Satan, with me if God allows you to kill me? I mean, God told me that I'd be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And by the way, it's a lot better over there than it is here. I don't want to go today, but if he takes one day, I'm ready. Amen? Amen. I don't know. I just know this is an amazing thing. Have you ever wondered why? You ever wonder why do some stay through death and even won't even some will die for the cause of Christ and others, you know, won't even do anything at all hardly? What's that? What is wrong with some that do not want to be found what God says when it's easy as far as the Word of God is concerned? Those who stay conscious is dead to sin for God's glory. Those who see the cause, the right reason to stay, a reason greater than one's own self. You've got to have more than God is a casual thing to be in my life to die for, unless it's accidental death. You got to have something that there that said, in good life or bad life, I'm going to be and try to be and do what I need to do as a child of God. I want the world to see that I don't only talk about being saved, I want to talk about faithfulness and what it means to be a child of God. And God teaches us that in His Word. They had a cause, the right reason to stay, a reason greater than one's own self. They had a conviction, persuaded that Jesus is worth dying for. Let me ask you something, folks. Do you believe that Jesus is worth dying for? I do. Now, I pray that God give me. I'm amazed. I'm amazed because I went to fellowship the other day, and I had a chance to sing a song, and I told the fellows, I don't know why it seems like I fear more today than I did when I was younger. I read because I could run faster when I was younger. Do you feel that way? I feel like I fear. And I was reading the other day in the book of Kings, where Elijah had just defeated the prophets of Baal, had just prayed and it rained, had been rained for 3.5 years. I mean, he had victory upon victory. He called down fire from heaven by God that literally lapped the water off an altar, consumed the altar and everything around it. Man alive, what a track record. What a light to your path. And Jezebel sent word because he killed a prophet, said, tomorrow this time you're going to die, son. And Elijah, and I say this, it looks to me like Elijah been through what he had. He said, Jezebel, bring it on, I'm waiting for you. You know what he did? He ran, afraid. And then God got him where he wanted to be, and he took his stand again. Don't tell me. We can be strong as we think. In one moment, we're not careful. We're not what we thought we were. Folks, it tells me we need God every second of the day. Amen. Not just on Sunday. And I see here as I see this, what a sad thing when people walk away from God. Why others are so faithful and even give their life for God in death. So I close with a thought this morning. How far would you go for your faith in Jesus Christ? What condition is your faith in today if we had to face something? Your actions speak louder than words. And we need to remember those who have given their lives for Jesus Christ as we remember those who gave their life for our country. Because I consider our country important, and they consider it important enough to die for it. I consider God's plan and purpose in this book important, and they also, of these through the years who followed God through this plan and book, died for it. And therefore, it's worthy for our attention. So your actions speak louder than words. But we ought to let us not forget the martyrs of the faith. God has not forgotten them. And God will never forget them. Turn to Hebrews 11 and I'm through. Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. If you start out, he talks about Enoch. He talks about Abel. He talks about Noah. And I won't get all those, Abraham, Sarah. As we go through how they died, lived and died, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses and his parents, Joshua and Israel, Rahab. And then in verse 32, and I close as you read with me what it says in this day about 64 AD. And what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, through righteousness obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the voice of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, but accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now watch. You think if God delivers some back again, why didn't he deliver all? I'm glad God's in charge, folks. I'm glad I understand. I may not understand his ways, because his ways are not like my ways, but I trust his heart. And I know this, on the other side, God Almighty wants us there. And his goal is to get us there. And by the way, he will do what he said he was going to do. And then he says this. He said, and women received their dead, raised to life after death, tortured. Then he said, others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yet moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, been destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world, watch this, folks. God slips things in that is precious when you see God's people really suffering. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these are having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. In other words, they followed God by faith, what God had promised, and never received it as of yet, because it's still in the future. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, it's an amazing thing when we think about what God has done for us. Brother Money was teaching this morning about rejoicing in heaven over the saints of God who trust the Lord in this earth. Rejoicing in heaven. Isn't it an amazing thing? And the Bible teaches us again that angels look into this, what Christ has done, and they're amazed by it. They don't understand it. And I was thinking, brother, while you were teaching, isn't it an amazing thing? Here's one place they don't understand what's going on, and in another place in heaven they're rejoicing over people getting saved. If they don't understand what happened, why are they rejoicing in heaven? You know why? They live to see that there is a difference. They can't explain it, but you can see there is a difference. And you and I live in this life. We try to explain it to people. They won't understand it, but they can see the difference. And an angel who can never be saved in heaven gets so excited because they realize that's how they get to heaven, through Christ, and they see the difference. And God gave me an answer when I finished this service today. God sees the difference. If we say or if we do, if we say what we should say, we'll do what we should do and realize that God deserves not just part of our life, but all of our life. This morning I rejoice over the fact of these who have died for our country and for we heard here, I don't know, probably how many, you had the 10, 12, 15 this morning, at least was said that somewhere in families have died. We have these in the Bible who've died for the cause of Christ. Fox and Book of Martyrs has many others, but these are ways that many have died. We don't even know the name. Those men over in the Middle East who died, their heads cut off a few months ago, we didn't know their names, but God does. God keeps a record. And I want to tell you something, folks. I may not have no more than dishpan hands washing in a KP. But that person lost his head. You're going to see much more do for them than we who just rode the plank alone and just had it easy. We'll be put to the test. Do we love God enough to pass the test? Stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, thank you again for the word. Thank you for this day. As we do our best, Lord, to reminisce and think back on this Memorial Day. And from the depth of our soul, we thank you, Lord, for those who give their life. Some of them probably had great careers ahead of them. Some of them had plans out. But there came a time they surrendered to the call of their country. And in turn, was trained to do something they never thought about, and that's fight. And the Lord went to the battlefield and ended up in eternity. And Lord, again, we thank you for those who give their life for this book. Father, we wouldn't have this book as we have today, even though you inspired it, unless you preserved it through those who gave their life for it. And we don't take it lightly. That's the reason I love studying it. I love putting it together. I love, Lord, if I could ever get all the notes I've got together, different places, to synchronize it, what a tremendous thing it would be that God is still preserving this book for our day. And so we don't take it lightly for those who died, Lord. And though we don't know all the names, and just a few here in the Bible itself, we know that you have all the names. And Lord, you have the names of those who are in your family, in the Lamb's Book of Life, written by the blood of Jesus Christ, who has literally gave their life for the cause of Christ. And we thank you for that today. We wouldn't have this today to follow if we hadn't had that in the past. And now we come to that time, Lord, we pray that someone will understand why God and what he's done to preserve his word, the gospel, as the choir sung about this morning, that others in this world may come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. If one's in this building or in the other churches, Lord, or on the radio or on the website that hears the broadcast, we pray somehow or another they'll come to understand the only thing that matters is when they meet you. And they must meet God the Father through the Son first in this life for God the Father to have favor on them. I didn't write it, Lord. You wrote it. I prayed you help me understand it, though, so we can proclaim it. And we'll thank you what you do through us and what you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.